In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past Sunday, we heard of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. How after 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He was hungry. He had fasted for 40 days. In our Old Testament lesson for this evening, we hear of the time that Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and also fasts for 40 days. There is a great cloud that covers Mount Sinai. There is a consuming fire and a cloud of smoke covering the place where God speaks to Moses. And God gives Moses his laws, his commands, his words for what he desires his followers, his children, to do. For 40 days and 40 nights, Moses communes with God in a conversation and receiving the law. When we look at our gospel lesson, our second reading for tonight, we see that people then and now demand a sign. How do I know that this Jesus of yours is the real deal? How do I know that he is the only path to heaven when I am constantly told that there are multiple paths to heaven? That there are many different names for God, and that includes Allah. That includes all sorts of different names other than the names that he has relayed to us. How do I know that Jesus is the only hope for me to be saved? How do I know that this Jesus is the God who is the eternal Word, who was taken up in the flesh, was born of a virgin, who lived a perfect life, and died for my sins? Why can't I choose my own path? Why can't I make my own rules? But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. But if only we could have lived then, if only we could have seen with our own eyes what Jesus did, then we would believe. Meanwhile, so many of the people that actually witnessed his miracles denied them. A man who had been dead for over 3 days was raised from the dead. Well, surely this is just some magic trick. Surely this is just some conspiracy. There's no way this man could have risen from the dead. They had heard of the man that had fed 5,000 men plus women and children using 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They have heard about how he fed 4,000 men plus women and children with 7 loaves and a few fishes. They had heard of how he had healed the blind, healed the deaf, healed the lame, healed the paralyzed, healed all of these things. They saw it. And yet they too rejected it. If you would just give us a sign, Jesus, then we would believe in you. And he says, a wicked and adulterous, perverse generation demands a sign. It will be better for them than the Ninevites. The Ninevites, who, as he points out, heard the proclamation of the Lord. As Jonah, a prophet who did not want to go to those people, because he knew that his God was merciful. He knew his God would forgive them. And he wants them destroyed. God, I don't want to go there and preach repentance. And so you know how that story goes. You taught it in Sunday school. He tries to go the opposite direction, and God causes a great tempest to occur. And he is thrown into the sea after pleading with them. And God sends a great fish to swallow him up and spit him back on the shore. Now, Jonah, you will do what I have created you to do. Jonah goes to Nineveh and he begins to preach a message of repentance. Repent, for God will destroy you if you do not. The king hears of it, and he orders that the people would sit in sackcloth, that they would sit in ashes, and that they would repent. and God saved them for it. Jonah was so upset at this, and he finds his only solace not in the forgiveness of God, but in a tree that gave him shade. And in turn, God caused that tree to die so that the shade was no longer there. Why would you do that, God? Well, Jonah, you have to understand. I have created these people as well. You cared so much about a tree that was only there for a day for you. These people have been here for years. I love them. My desire is that they would repent, that they would turn from their wicked ways. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a great fish, and then he was brought forth to proclaim the word of the Lord. Jesus talks about the sign of Jonah being the sign that the Son of Man, he, would fulfill. 3 days. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is crucified for the sins of the whole world. He is buried on a Friday. Once the sun sets on Friday evening, it begins the second day. Once the sun sets on that Saturday, it begins the third day. And at any point after the sun has set, the new day beginning, even though the sun has not yet risen, is the third day. And the belly of the earth that contained the very one who created it gives up Jesus. Body and soul, he descends down into hell to proclaim victory over the devil, to proclaim that he has conquered him, that he is trampling him under his feet, and the devil has raged ever since. It would be better for the Ninevites than it would be for them. A wicked generation demands the signs in order to believe. You, dear Christian, believe without seeing. As Jesus proclaims after his resurrection to Thomas and to the 11, he proclaims, "Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe." You are his brothers and his sisters. You matter to him dramatically so. He loves you so completely, so thoroughly, and that's why he goes to the cross. This Lent, we will travel with him to that cross, but by the end of it, we will rejoice that the cross was full, but the tomb was empty. They rejoice to see the wisdom of Solomon, and yet the one who was wiser than Solomon is with us. This is Jesus. He is the one who tramples death, who tramples sin for you and me. In the name of Jesus, amen.